talk a little bit today about the trial of your faith. Maybe we'll write that up on the board here. So just in getting started here, it's the trial of your faith. It's a very personal thing. We're not talking about a trial of the faith that is out there for us to take part in, but the actual taking part in it, the trial of your faith this morning. And it's your faith is a very personal thing. It's by implications of saying your faith, we're talking about you've seen the faith of Christ, of God, that is out there, and you have reached out and taken hold of that, and it's become your faith in yourself personally. And so now, just as it's very personal to you, although it is the faith of God, it's not different in all of us. It leads us to the same place and in the same winner. It's the same Lord, it's the same God. We don't mean that it's personal in that respect, that it can be just whatever. But it's very personal because you now have taken hold of it. And so what has also happened now is that the trials are going to be very personal as well. All right. And so the trial of your faith this morning is what we want to speak to. We find in 1 Peter, the first chapter. And we will start reading here in the third verse. And it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." I like that verse. It just, I can't help but be encouraged when I read that verse. But let's keep on going here. He's begotten us to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And so this morning, I don't know personally why you chose to take hold of the faith of Christ and make it a personal thing to you, that it was your faith. And maybe there is someone here. We have a lot of people growing up, and at some point, you know, you have to make that decision yourself, and maybe you haven't quite gotten there yet. What are the things working in your life to bring you to that point where you take hold of the faith and make it your faith? God can work in many mysterious ways to bring us to the faith and to make it personally ours in our life, and it's a wonderful picture of redemption, of preciousness in the Lord, in the way that he brings us to him, how he loves us each one and knows how to do that, how to call to us. And then it's up to us to answer that and take hold of it and make it our faith. So for all the reasons why we're led to that point to make that decision, we have an ultimate goal, a prize. And it's an inheritance that's incorruptible, unable to be defiled, that doesn't fade away and is reserved in heaven for you. You remember what he says, "In my house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you." This is a very personal thing. We're all in the same heaven. We're all in the same place. But the Lord, in looking at each one of us as we take hold of this faith, he sees the trials and he also sees the reward that he has for us very personally and all. And so today, you have an inheritance in heaven that's yours. You know, I'm going to have one that's mine, and it's going to be in the same place, but I've got one, you've got one, we've all got one that the Lord has for us. A mansion that he is built for us in heaven, for us personally. I am working and going through my personal trials for my personal reward in that place where we'll all be together in heaven forever. All those who have taken hold of this faith and made it theirs personally. All right? So to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You know, I've never had the occasions. I can't think of a time where I've actually gone to a restaurant and had a reserved table, but I always thought that's pretty impressive that somebody, you know, in certain situations people get famous enough, and I've heard of situations where they had a table, and if they walked in, actually situations where the restaurant would come and move them because that is their table, you know, and so it's a little bit not quite the way I would want to be treated, but there's some significance to that, that's so they deem them so precious that they would have a table where they would actually move somebody from that table in order to sit that person there in their specific table. Well, I don't really care to ever have that happen to me in this life, but I've got an inheritance reserved for me. And there is nobody that's going to be sitting at that table, at my table. That's personally for me in heaven, that God has this made and reserved for me. And it encourages me in the trial of my faith to know that I am working for a reward. I'm working for my piece of the pie that God has for me in heaven. Thank the Lord. And you know what? He's got one for everybody. For everyone who will come, he's got a piece of the pie, a place that nobody else gets to sit at that table. That is your table. It's reserved for you, so to speak, in heaven, made personally for you. Thank God for that. And it says, okay, so reading that verse, it fadeth not away. It's reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God. We spoke just briefly in Sunday school about the last enemy to be destroyed is death. And with the help of the Lord to bring this out, it wasn't something I thought about before this, but you know, as long as I live on this earth, there's not only the knowledge that, it's a possibility that I may die physically. I may not. I may just be here when the Lord comes back and I get translated. So there's a possibility that I don't die physically. You know? You know, there's a possibility that I might die spiritually as long as I'm in this earth. I thank God there's a power that can keep me. I thank God that he has the power to keep me in this life and to keep me alive. He has the life. He has the ability to quicken me and all. And so thank God for that. How does that work in my life? It says, through faith. Through my faith in the Lord. And this would be a good time to delve into thinking a little bit about what faith really is. We know that it is just, it involves knowing there's a God, knowing who he was, that he's all powerful and he's almighty. But faith in itself, again, and I know we've talked about this before, but it's something more than just knowing that he exists. Faith involves, the word that's translated as faith, involves a commitment to him. It involves a pursuit of him. It involves a trust in him, reserving my life for him and looking for a word here. It involves casting my life aside for him. You know, this is the saying we have, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Because what that saying is basically saying is there's not anything you can really have faith in that it's just going to do everything it needs to do. You need to spread your eggs out across several baskets. Faith says put them all in one basket. Put everything in the Lord. If this morning I've got some eggs in another basket in my life, then I'm not living by faith in God. All of my eggs need to go into one basket. And it needs to be the basket of the Lord, that we commit all things into his hands and we look for whatever he might yield back to us in life to live by, to manage our lives by. But everything I have should be in this basket of the Lord. If it's not, then there's some error in my life. There's some weaknesses in my faith. There's some lack of faith in my life that will hinder me and will cause problems because it will weaken my faith, and my faith will be tried in this life. You know that when you commit everything into his hands, it can be scary, but you know that's where it shouldn't be scary? Because if I've truly committed it all into his hands, then he has my complete faith in him, and my faith can be strong. So then the trials of my faith that are going to come, whether I truly faithfully put everything in that basket or not, they're going to come. my faith can be strong and can stand in the midst of those trials. And so, who are you who are kept by the power of God through faith? Thank God. But it's for a purpose. It's to a point. There's something out in front of us. There's something we're living this way for, not just the blessings that he gives us day by day. And truly, the best life on earth is this life. It just, you can't compare to this. The peace, the joy, the happiness, the way that he can help us through every single problem we face. And even the ones that seem like we didn't make it through them, but yet God was with us and he held us up in the midst of them. Right? So there's no better way in life, but there's a goal here. There's a reason why we're living by faith, why we're choosing to put all these eggs in one basket, and that's because there is a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. When the heavens split open, when the trumpet sounds, when the Lord comes back, and this life on earth is over. The existence of this world is finished. Where am I going to be standing? You know, I don't, Lord help me. The foolishness of my life at times that has existed, and Lord help me, pray that he helps me stay away from it, but Lord help us. To think that there was something that mattered besides making sure that my life was ready to go. Now, I don't mean that we don't take care of responsibilities, but you understand what I mean. For me, thinking that something should challenge that faith, that somehow something should challenge me putting all my eggs in this basket. In the end, the only thing that's going to matter is if I'm ready to go when the heavens split open. And if I have lived that life where I'm ready to go, I tell you what, I will have taken care of everything that the Lord wanted me to. I will have done the things that he called me to do. Maybe I will have done them as he corrected me and told me, you know what, you didn't come through in this manner. You need to go back and set this right. Or maybe I will be successful at first shot. That happens sometimes. All right? Because of the Lord in our life. And because if we listen to him, he'll help us do that. But whatever the case may be, is there anything that matters more than in that last time being ready to go? There is nothing. There are things I haven't thought about in this life, I'm sure, but they don't matter like that matters at all. This is a whole nother realm and worthy of putting all of our eggs in this basket with the Lord and living by faith. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be trod with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And speaking to us this morning, saints, put it all in the hands of the Lord. There is no way, if there is anything that we hold back from him, then we're going to have a struggle facing the trials of our faith that are going to come. It says, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, the trial of your faith is going to come. There are going to be situations that happen in life that make you battle feelings of wanting to live a different way, of wanting to pursue some things, of wanting to put something aside that you really shouldn't. All right? There are going to be trials that challenge how, if you're really going to go through this and live by faith and be ready when the Lord comes. If we don't put everything in the basket with the Lord, if we reserve some things to the side, there's going to be some struggles, more greater than they should be, different kinds of struggles in our life. And we're susceptible to falling. If we're committed to the Lord and we're pursuing him with all our heart, then our faith will be able to stand in those days. We'll have the strength that we need. You know, there's an element to this faith. It talks about it. I won't turn there just yet. But in Hebrews 11, it gives us a definition of faith. And it says, Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There we have a song in our hymnal, number 32. Turn over there, I'm going to read the fourth verse to us. Lord, help us. And this is speaking of the kingdom. It says, what a pleasure in life it is bringing. What assurance and hope ever bright. Oh, what rapture and bliss are awaiting when our faith shall be lost in the sight. So there's coming a day when we will not live by faith anymore. There's coming a day where all the promises, all the things that we've lived for and sought after in life, we will see them for all that they are. And that day, when you ask me about heaven, I'll be able to tell you, this is what it looks like. I hope what I'll be able to do, and I hope what you'll be able to do for me is say, take a look and see. See my reward, see your reward. You know, there's coming a day where our faith will be lost in sight. But the nature, but that will be after the last time. That will be when this world is over, when we go to see it. Until then, we live by faith. And what is seen is not faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You're going to face trials in your life, and you're going to see the trial more clearly sometimes than you see the faith, the things that you're putting your faith in. That's going to be part of the trial of faith, is that there's reality that faces you and you're living by faith in things you can't really see. But yet you know in your heart the Lord has witnessed to you and He has led you in a path and He has shown you His purpose in your life and He's given you the direction you need to know, but yet you still don't see them. There'll come a day where you can see all of that for what it is. But that's not going to be in this life. You're not going to win your battles of faith by coming to a moment where you can just see what everything is all about. It's about taking hold of the faith of Christ, understanding that though I may never see Him in this life, He is all around me. He is with me. He is the one that will carry me home safe. And so, as I... Lord, help us to bring this out the way the Lord has given it to us. As I see the very real things in front of me, one of the temptations that faces me is to try to mesh in with what I see somehow. Not wanting to totally give myself over to it, but trying to adjust somehow where the trial of my faith gets a little less hot somehow. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't try to live peaceably. But there's an element of the battle of our faith that's intensified by the fact that everything we can see is kind of battling against us, it almost feels like sometimes. But the Lord is still there. That's what faith is about. Faith is about living, but yet not seeing. Like He told Thomas, He said, you've seen. And Thomas saw the nail prints. He knows what happens. He knows Jesus lived again. He knows it because he saw it. He said, blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. There is a place, if I'm willing to take hold of this faith, there is a special blessing for me that Thomas didn't get to have in his life because he actually saw those things. I didn't, but yet I took hold of it. And there's a blessing for me in that. And as I face my trials, help me to never forget that I'm living for those things I don't see. That I don't want to lose what I don't see. And trying to just somehow fit in with what I am seeing. Trying to look a little less different for some reason. And y'all know this is not about being different. But if you live for God in this world, you are going to look different. You are going to do things different. Even from people who may even name the name of Christ. If you're really living for God, there's going to be a difference. And you know what? If they really live for Him, before long there's going to be differences in their life too. All right, it's not necessarily going to mesh with everything that you see in front of us. I believe God still has a way to help us get along in this world, and He has a blessing for us, and we don't have to separate. In fact, He told us not to separate ourselves from it, but yet there is a difference when we live by faith. All right? Be encouraged. Don't be discouraged by that. There is a whole kingdom around you, walking with you, that there will be one day where eyes are opened. And you know what? I hope that everybody that has somehow not been where they needed to be and maybe was a part of the trial of my faith in a way that tried to pull me away from God, I hope they all get a hold of it, and that day they're all living for God and we all see why it was worth it. But no matter what, I don't want to lose my reward, because there's things that I can see pushing against me and battling what I know is true and the faith I know I've taken hold of to follow in my life. All right. So, you know, we're living by faith and things that we can't see naturally with our eyes. But I wonder, have you ever had a dream about that day when our faith is made sight? And heaven is one thing, and dreams are dreams. How close are they from God? In the end, we'll know all these things. But there's elements of them that I believe have been encouragements to me in life. And there's one particular dream I had. I remember I've had it a couple of times and maybe in different ways. And it's just like life is kind of happening, and all of a sudden, and I think I've related it some, I start kind of floating up in the air. And the joy that's in my heart at that moment, I know it's only a taste of what it's going to be like. And well, how is it really going to happen? Well, we don't really know, but let's ask the Lord to give us some visions about it. Let's get to realize there's a moment where our faith will become sight, and the joy in that moment, just from that little taste that I've had, I can only imagine that it will take away any sting that I'm carrying with me at that time because of where I've had to walk in this life and because of the paths I've had to take in following the Lord. I'm sure if there's any sting at that moment, it won't be because my faith is being made sight. It's going to be washed away by the joy of knowing that I've made it. Lived by faith, yes. And now my faith is being sight, and I'm being taken home to my reward. That is going to be so worth it to see that day. It made me think of a song. In this song that I just kind of read from there, it says, "Oh, what pleasure in life it is bringing." That's that hope inside of me. That's where that pleasure is coming from, and from the Lord in my life too. But there's a song that says, "I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. No pain nor death can enter there. I feel like traveling on." You know, I don't know if you've ever felt that way, but I've definitely felt like that in life. I remember spending a period of my life singing a song that says, "Don't know when I'm leaving, but I'm ready to go. When I get to heaven, I'll be welcome, I know." And in one part of the song says, "I'm so tired of living in this world." Down below, I believe it says, "Getting kind of homesick to go." You know what? I am. I love my life. But if the Lord came back today, I would not regret it. If the Lord came back and chose today to make my faith become sight, and to see what I'm living for, what I've been living for this whole time, I'm not going to regret it. Lord, help me. Let me get a hold of that, yes, so that I can face the trial of my faith and put all my eggs in this one basket with the Lord and come on through this thing the way the Lord's pulling me through it, the way He wants me to come through it, because it's going to be worth it one day. All right? Let's read just briefly about these brothers and sisters of ours over in Hebrews 11, who no doubt, if they knew the lyrics to that song, they would be singing them. It says, "By faith, Abel offered unto the Lord a more excellent sacrifice than Cain." Well, because he was better, but by faith he was following the path the Lord had for him. "By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him." So once again, it wasn't because Enoch was some kind of special person in and of himself, is because he lived by faith. He followed the Lord. He put all of his eggs in that one basket. He followed him. He walked through the trials he faced in life, faithful to the Lord, to live by faith. And there came a moment where the Lord just got him and brought him home. "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house." All right, by faith. By faith, Abraham. He was called out, and there's several in here that say by faith, Abraham. He was the father of the faithful, it's known as that. But when he was called out into a place where he should afterward receive an inheritance, obeyed. He went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he sojourned in that land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Through faith, these all, down in the 13th verse, from him sprang even one that many as good as death, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them and embraced them. These are our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And they went through trials of their faith from the beginning of time and in every situation, clinging to faith in the Lord, holding on to faith, putting all your eggs in that one basket and following him, led them faithfully through the trials that they faced. All right? And he goes on here to say, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. If they had spent time thinking about, maybe I just need to mesh in around here somehow. But no, they went on by faith, following the Lord. Not trying to be different for the sake of being different, but whatever it took to follow the Lord by faith, they were willing to do it. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. All right? Here's that very personal reward that the Lord has for us. Dropping down to the 20th verse. By faith, Isaac. 21st verse, by faith, Jacob. 22nd verse, by faith, Joseph. 23rd verse, by faith, Moses. His parents hid him. All right, 24th verse, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. 27th verse, by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. 28th verse, through faith, he kept the Passover. That moment, that night, the Lord told him to do that, and by faith, they sit there. They still had not seen the deliverance. But they sat down and they all did what the Lord told them to. All right. And it says, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. Now, here's the point. You think, well, God opened the waters. They had the faith to take off and walk through those things, walk through that place. And you know what? The Egyptians, they took off and they didn't make it. Do you know faith in the Lord is what brings us through things in life? Places that we would never make it through any other way. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not. And then he goes on to say, 32nd verse, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me. And that's, I want to say that to you this morning. Time would fail me to sit here and list all the people who by faith have been faithful, have walked, were they faithful because nothing happened in their life to stand against them? Nothing happened in the things that they could see that made them had to reach for that they couldn't see in order to make it on through it. No, they all went through those places. What more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophet who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of sword, out of weakness were made strong. They faced a few trials. They faced a few trials, y'all. But they believed in God and they put all their eggs in that basket and they went after him. And by faith, they made it through these. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they may obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mocking, scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith. The ways they walked in life and the places that God took them to He took them by faith. Lord, help us this morning. If we're going to make it, it's going to be by faith. Remember, not just believing God is, but putting all of our eggs in that one basket, trusting Him, committing to Him, laying aside the things of the world, even when it seems like everything is just standing against us. We continue to believe in God and follow after Him. And the Lord, having provided something better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, I thank God for the encouragement this morning to live by faith in Him. I thank God for the encouragement that He didn't try to pretend we weren't going to face trials of our faith. That is part of making it through with Him. But here it says, once again reading the seventh verse, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. And so we know we're going to be tried with fire. And there were people who were very literally, physically tried with fire. Maybe that will be, who knows? We don't know what we're going to face in life, but we know that we can be more than conquerors through Him that loved us, through that one that we are putting our faith in, that we're taking hold of the faith of Christ, and through Him, by His power, we can be more than conquerors in this life. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see Him not. We're living by faith. We're faith in Jesus, who we cannot see with our eyes. And probably, Jesus can do anything, probably will not see Him until that day that the trumpet sounds. I just pretty much can tell you, we're not going to. We're living by faith, not by sight. All right? Yet, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though ye now ye see Him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. The Lord's salvation that He brings to us by faith, He will carry us by faith to the full completion of that salvation, where then our faith is lost by sight, and we see the reward of that salvation for all eternity, and there is no more chance of death, physically or spiritually, anymore. We will be home safe with Him. You pray for me.